Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
Of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never.
And that was The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, sung by the Westminster Abbey Choir. And that Westminster Abbey Choir is in the, I don't know, Pastor Mark Smith, Westminster, Missouri?
No, I think that's over in England.
That's a different melody than what we sing, 709.
Yes. What I find is there's a lot of different melodies for different hymns.
Yes. It's a pretty one.
What people do, they go down to, and most hymnals, they have the, what is that called, the rhythm or the syllables. This was is an 8-7-8-7 hymn.
Uh-huh.
In other words, there's eight syllables at the beginning, then seven, and then eight and seven. And so if you ever do a hymn, it's always good to find something that's going to fit it, and then you make sure you have
right.
the right syllables.
That's right.
Yes.
I used to do that a lot. What I'm saying is if I wanted to sing a hymn and the melody was unfamiliar, I'd look in the back and I'd figure out another familiar melody to use.
Oh, that's
that way you can use you broaden the
well. The problem is when they open the hymnal, they're reading the melody in front of them.
Well, I usually put in the bulletin alternate tune.
Oh yeah, yeah. So they got it. Be flipping there.
See, the only problem is they don't learn any new melodies.
Yes, that's correct.
So,
yeah, I often have said that a good hymn is one you can whistle when you're finished.
A good hymn is one that you're singing to yourself all Sunday afternoon.
Well, the trouble is there is a good hymn that is impossible to sing to yourself. Isaiah Mighty Cyrival.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, that's... wow. I remember... when I went to Concordia College in Milwaukee, the opening service had that, and they only had the words in the
yes.
bulletin, and nobody knew when to sing what.
It's a great hymn, though.
Oh, my, yes. Yes.
Another fact, one that...
I've written two more verses to it.
Have you really?
Yeah, well, remember, that's the one that talks about Isaiah, you
yes.
know? But it ends before it gets to the point where the angel picks up a coal and takes it to his mouth.
Oh, that's right. And so you wrote the extra verses talking about that.
Yes. And then I went to the great organist Bender at St. Paul de Pere and told him I had done that. And he looked at me and said, so have I. He had done it also. So he never used mine. What were you going to say? What other hymn?
Oh, another hymn that's kind of hard to sing without accompaniment is Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart.
Oh, I don't know. I can hum that whole thing.
That's a long one.
Da 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 da. A little off, aren't I? That's why I don't chant. Do you chant?
Oh yes, yes. Yeah. Not everything, but some of the service. Yes, yeah. All the time.
Hate to have the folks walk out. And this is, by the way, we haven't even announced. This is Tuesday, April 12th. We're a third of the way towards Christmas. Can you believe that?
Yes, already past.
I can't remember March.
We're past the Feast of the Annunciation.
Oh.
March 25th.
And what is that?
That is when Gabriel announced to Mary that she would bear a son.
That's right. That's
it. And that's, of course, 9 months before Christmas.
Yes. And anytime it's on a Lenten, I always begin the service with a little town of Bethlehem because nobody can figure out, why is he doing that? All right. Who wrote The King of Love? It's my uncle.
Henry Baker.
Yep.
Henry W. Baker.
Yep.
No, you've got to be related to him somehow.
No, unfortunately, I'm not. But believe it or not,
you've got to be an Englishman.
My dad had six brothers, I think, and one of them was Henry. Uncle Henry. Yeah, he was an insurance salesman.
Uh-huh.
Sold our car insurance to us.
Your dad sold insurance too, didn't he?
Yeah, but he sold life insurance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so. All right, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Would you be so kind to read the first stanza?
The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Obviously, this is based on the 23rd Psalm.
Yes. Would you like me to embarrass you again today?
Oh, Tom.
It'd be
nothing new. You might as well.
Yes. You want to hear the question I had for Sunday?
What does verdant mean?
No. It was, who here would disagree that Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? And Peter replied, Lord, you know I love you. Anybody disagree with that?
He doesn't. No, he doesn't say, Lord, you know I love you. He doesn't say that until the last time.
Yeah, but he says, I do love you.
I do love you, yeah, 3 times.
Exactly. Okay, and
then finally he says, when he asks him a 3rd time, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.
Yes. And I said, the only way that is correct is if you're looking at the English. Because that's not what Jesus says in the Greek.
Oh, that's right. Okay, tell me.
Yeah. The first 2 times he says, do you agape me?
Oh, he says that first two times.
Yes.
And what is the Greek word he uses the last time he says love?
Phileo.
Uh-huh.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, I would think.
Peter says phileo all 3 times. Do you agape me? I said this in the sermon. It's like me.
What is the distinction Jesus is making then?
Okay, I'm about to say that. It's like Louise says, Tom, do you love me? I say, I really like you. Tom, do you love me? I really like you. Well, Tom, do you like me? I already told you 3 times. Some scholars don't think there is any distinction.
Well, let's review the different words for love in Greek. Phileo is brotherly love.
Right. And agape is the John 3:16 love.
It's the Christian love, highest form of love, right.
Then I made another point. Jesus didn't use agape or phileo when he spoke to Peter. Why? Because he spoke Aramaic.
Oh, of course. Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
And so I looked up the word that is translated in the Greek, agape, for what the Aramaic was. I can't recall how to pronounce it. It's a big word. But it means unconditional love. It's very interesting in the Bible. that never does God say he loves human beings and ever uses the word phileo. It's always agape.
It's always agape.
And you know why? Because phileo would mean that it is a love because you have a relationship with the person.
Right.
Somebody comes to your door and they're inebriated, they have torn clothes on, they want money. Normally you wouldn't give it to them. But if it's your brother, and I mentioned Philadelphia.
Yeah, city of brotherly love. That's what phileo is, brotherly love. Right?
Brotherly love. God never has that for us. He only has agape.
It's always the undying agape love.
Yes,
loves.
Because you'd have to change John 3:16 if it was phileo. For God so loved
the world.
Well, you couldn't say that. No, you have to say, for God so loved those who are related to him.
If you use phileo.
That's right.
Right. I understand that, yes.
Now, I found it also interesting. I found a text, John 10, I think, verse 5, where it says, the Father loves the Son, and he uses phileo.
Because there's a relationship.
Yes. He's the only begotten Son. But he never uses that for human beings. It's always agape. So, if you're going to make a distinction, because the Aramaic does, it's got the two different words. It's not that phileo is a lesser love. It might be the kind of love you'd have. You go on a date, you know, with who's going to be your wife the first time. You say, boy, I love her. That's not the depth of love that's going to happen once you get married.
No.
There's an agape love that takes over. And so the point I was making is this is one of the most comforting passages for pastors. Why?
You're talking about Peter's exchange with Christ.
Right. Because if God looked at Mark Smith and say, Mark, do you agape me perfectly? Your answer is?
In Christ, no. But not of myself.
Christ. No, that's sanctification.
We're talking about love of God. That comes under the law. We're talking about love from God for us. That's gospel.
Yeah. See, this is totally different. No pastor would ever say yes to that. Just like Peter couldn't. He had just denied him three times.
Right.
But then the words that follow are amazing. Do you agape me? No, I only phileo you. Tend my sheep, feed my lambs. In other words, the point I was making is that every pastor falls short of agape back to God, but he still uses sinners to proclaim the word of God.
That is right. That's right.
And then, of course, the law gospel of the sermon was that I apply it to the people. He chooses you as wonderful parents, or bringing your kids to parochial school, or chooses, and then I went through the various officers, the parochial school teachers and such, and even those in whatever vocation you're in, God can use you no matter how bad your sin is. So don't ever say, oh, I'm such a terrible sinner, I can't do anything.
Yeah, it's like we have this treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels.
Yes.
We're just poor, miserable sinners.
Now, why are we bringing this up? It's the first line of the hymn. The king of love,
my shepherd is.
And that isn't phileo. It's agape.
It's agape, right.
It's the highest form of love. In fact, a parochial school teacher came up afterwards and asked, I'm writing something and I like one of the comments you made. Can I borrow it? And I said, well, which one was it in the sermon? He said, you said that there's nothing you can do to get God to love you more, and there's nothing you do where God loves you less. And he said, can I use it? And I looked at him and said, how many times have I told you I'm a super plagiarist? So I borrowed it. I don't know who I borrowed it from, but I don't have a copyright on sermons. And so, yeah, you can borrow it. But that is not said in any other religion.
Because say it again.
There's nothing you can do to get God to love you more.
Right.
Which is quite interesting because every other religion is based on doing stuff to get them to first love you or like you and then save you. And it's always a chore.
He loves us in Christ.
Yes. Yes, and he loves everybody.
That's right.
Yeah. So there's no one he doesn't love. People who go to hell, God loves.
Yeah, remember what he said to Judas. I always remember what he said to Judas. Friend,
yeah.
What have you come to do? He calls him friend.
Right.
He's not being sarcastic or anything.
No.
He's sincere when he says that.
Even though Judas is somebody who definitely went to hell.
Right.
From the words of Jesus, it would have been better had he never been born.
Yes.
You don't say that about somebody who's going to heaven. You know.
But he still loved him to the end.
Well, then I made up a little story. I said, I don't think this is true, but it'll make my point. The Holy Trinity were trying to decide who they were going to send as an apostle to the Gentiles. And Gabriel and Michael were involved in the conversation, I said. And Gabriel said, oh, let's choose one of the great disciples. You know, Lord, you love John. He would be a great apostle to the Gentiles. And then Michael said, well, you can even choose a layman like that centurion who told you, you can heal my servant. You don't have to go see him. What faith he had. And he's a Gentile. He'd be great. And then I said, what a surprise in heaven when the Holy Trinity decided to choose a Pharisee who was murdering Christians.
Yes, that's right.
That was the reading,
Pharisee
by the way,
of Pharisees, right?
From Acts.
Uh-huh. What you based your sermon on? Was Paul's conversion?
No, I just mentioned it because I based a sermon on Peter, do you love me?
Uh-huh.
And he even says, he asked him three times, and then Peter replied three times, and then I asked
the last time there's kind of a note of, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest I love you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a note of exasperation there,
Peter. Yeah, I know there was one prof who didn't think that was a big deal, the difference between agape and phileo, but there's a whole book written on that. There's another word, eros,
yes,
for love, but you know, it never appears in the Bible.
Never.
It's not a romantic love. It's a love because of an object.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a story I tell. Two robbers came into the house, and there was a husband and wife there, and they said, open the safe. And the husband said, no, I'm not going to open the safe and give you any money. And they said, okay, we're going to hurt your wife. And he still wouldn't open the safe. Now, they didn't hurt the wife. But then they saw all these beautiful pictures on the wall that the guy had been collecting. And they took out a knife and they said, we're going to slash these pictures. He opened the safe immediately.
He opened the safe.
That's eros. He had an erotic love towards the pictures, more than his wife.
Hmm.
See? So God never has eros. But it's never found in the Bible. It's in the... And there's one other word for love, too.
Filio, eros, and agape. And then there's another one.
Yeah. And I think it's a family kind of love or something, but it slips my mind which one it is. It also is not in the Bible. But you see, the English just uses the word love for all these kinds of love. So,
this is why it's helpful to have the Greek.
Oh, well, John 3:16 is totally different. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten, whoever believes. If it's agape, that means it's unconditional. But if it's phileo, it's on the condition that you believe. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, God loved the world. He sent his only begotten son. That's what God did. Now, what do you have to do? You have to believe. And there's a whole denomination that believes that you have to make a decision for Christ. As though you're able to. It's ridiculous.
You have not chosen me, I've chosen you, he says.
Yes, exactly. Scripture interprets scripture. So, the king of love, my shepherd is. You got a paradox right there. He's both king and he's shepherd.
Kind of like David.
Exactly.
David was a shepherd boy.
And it also is, remember, Jesus has three offices.
Prophet, priest, and king.
Yes. So this one is talking about. And those three offices came from the Old Testament where God set up prophet, priest, and kings. And then when Jesus was on earth, he was a prophet, priest, and king. But then when he ascended into heaven, he was a different prophet, priest, and king. For example, on priest, on earth, he sacrificed himself.
Absolutely. But himself the victim and himself the priest.
Priest,
right.
Yes. Prophet, priest, and king.
Yes.
But in heaven, there is no sacrifice.
No, that's
how's
right.
How's he priest
but he
in
is,
heaven?
He is the lamb.
Yes, he's but the lamb how's that, he the priest in heaven?
because he answers, he pleads for us at the throne of God.
Excellent. He continues to pray.
He petitions his heavenly Father for us.
Now, for the believer, therefore, his goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever. Okay, what happens to those of our listeners who think they're lacking something? How do you answer that?
Well, Christ has already provided. In Christ, it's already been provided.
Yes. But they say, well, I'm lacking, for example, my car broke down, so I'm lacking a car. According to the hymn, Pastor Smith, it says that I nothing lack, and he is mine forever. So isn't that a contradiction?
No. He will provide everything that we need. Everything we need for life, for our soul salvation is provided.
So you're not saying he's going to give me a car?
Not necessarily.
Exactly.
Yes. Sometimes he may make you wait for a car.
You see, what we're talking about is perception. God never leaves us in a situation where he thinks we're lacking what we need. We often think we're lacking what we need. So it's really a fight between the old Adam and Christ.
Right. I agree 100%.
Yeah. So that's how I would counsel someone, is that every time we talk spiritual, you got to be talking from God's point of view, not your point of view. Because your point of view is always corrupted by the old Adam, who wants to get his 2 cents in there. All right.
Okay, I know you've talked about this before. Let me ask the question again. I've heard it said that when he answers the prayer, sometimes he answers yes, sometimes he answers no, sometimes he answers wait. Now, you have another way of answering that question.
Yes, I was corrected by a lay person, a woman who phoned me on the radio.
He always answers yes?
Yes, because there's only two kinds of prayers. The one is you're asking him for that which he's already promised. Like when we baptize an infant, we don't say and give that infant faith if it be thy will.
No, that's
never
right. It's unconditional.
That. Unconditional.
That's right.
But then when I wanted a motorcycle, I said, if it be your will.
If it be your will.
Okay, and she said, when you ask for something he promised, the answer is yes. And when you ask for something he hasn't promised and you say, if it be your will, he says, yes, it will be my will.
No, say that again now. Explain that again.
Simple. If
I see. He's answering yes, I'll answer your prayer according to my will.
That right. You just prayed for.
I see. Yes. Uh-huh. That's very good.
In fact, this is the Garden of Gethsemane.
It's always yes.
It's always yes.
It's always yes, but it's always according to his will.
Remember, there's that Bible verse. It's always yes, it's never no.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's how. And so I changed my mind after I heard her.
Uh-huh. That is a good way of answering
that question. Oh, it is. Yes.
So he always answers our prayers yes, but it's always in accord with his will.
Think of a child. When my kids first ate ice cream, they wanted the whole half gallon.
And you said, that half is for me.
No, according to my will, I want to eat it.
I can believe that.
Yeah, my answers may be a little more out of self-interest than God's are. All right. Stanza 2.
You want me to read it?
Yep.
Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth. And where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. There's that word again, verdant. We've talked about that word before.
I'm sure. And it means?
Green.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Does it mean green?
Yeah.
Really?
It's the green grass. Well, you just said it, Psalm 23.
Yes.
He leads me beside
the still waters.
And
the green grass.
Yes. Thank you. Then what's the celestial food?
Oh, well, I think it's talking about the Lord's Supper,
yes,
even in the Old
you.
Testament.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
that's really clear when we get to the fifth verse.
Well, why don't you read? We're not going to be able to, because of all your talking today, we can't get the whole hymn done.
Okay.
Read the fifth verse, please.
Fifth verse. Thou spreadst a table in my sight, thine unction grace bestoweth, and oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth.
Okay, if you thought verdant was hard, what's unction?
Unction is, of course, it's anointing.
Good.
Yeah, anointing with oil.
Yes, and we get anointed with the body and blood of Christ. And I think you're correct. This is the Lord's Supper, because look at the last line.
Yeah, from thy pure chalice floweth.
We call that metonymy. You know what that means? That you, like, take this cup. We don't really mean that. We mean take the wine in the cup. But metonymy means when you give them a cup, you're referring to that which is within it.
I think that's a syllogism, isn't it? Syllogism?
No, a syllogism.
Or synecdoche. Synecdoche.
Oh,
isn't that synecdoche? When you say one.
Yeah, I know.
But you mean both.
I thought it was metonymy. You could
synecdoche,
be right.
Synecdoche, I think, is the word.
It's probably that word because I can't spell it. All right. How about, I'll read the last stanza. And so, through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. So, his goodness faileth never, and that's because it begins with the kind of love he has. And what kind of love does he have?
Agape.
Agape. Now, when I mention agape in Bible study, most Christians have heard that word.
Yes.
Have we ever anglicized it, where agape is?
No. No.
Sometimes you hear about, we're going to have an agape feast.
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe in that sense they do.
I don't know. Do you think does that cheapen the term when you say we're going to have an agape feast? Almost like you're using it for everything.
No. If you're referring to the Lord's Supper, it doesn't cheapen it.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You're right there. But if you're calling a potluck an agape feast, does that kind of cheapen the word?
Well, it wouldn't if they serve White Castles.
Come on, Tom.
Yeah, obviously, in fact, I remember when I was on Vicarage at a college near me for the Lord's Supper, you know what they gave out?
What?
Potato chips and Coca-Cola. Because it was an agape feast.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. When's your services?
Yes, 5 p.m. Saturday and 9 a.m. Sunday morning. Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood.
And I'm at Emmanuel Olivet at 11 a.m. this morning. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.